with Wilde and Tausch. Begins now, and it begins with something you heard during that montage. Thanks to Jesse and Ashton for their hard work on that. And that is the level of home field advantage.
Did you just see? I'm assuming Ashton didn't do much with the montage, unless I misread Jesse's body language. The look of disgust when you mentioned Ashton's name with that montage was like you had just, you know, taking Jesse's dog out. That's what it felt like. Am I wrong, Jesse? Ashton didn't do much with that montage, correct?
Ashton was the inspiration for the montage.
I did zero with the montage.
Yeah, but here's what I thought was, if I don't do a montage, I'm getting replaced. Like, I gotta go back to what my strengths are here, because otherwise there's no point for me to be around anymore.
Should I make a dueling montage for tomorrow, or?
Yes.
Oh. Why did I just give myself that word? That's tentative.
Yes.
Tentative. I'm very busy today. It's tentative.
Can you please get in when I said this roster stack? That's the only thing I'm wishing Jesse had put in the montage. But Ashton, I can't wait to hear your montage. I think that's going to be great.
Tentative.
Dueling.
Very excited
montage.
For that. Yes.
Wow.
It's like dueling banjos.
Wow.
Dueling pianos.
It's gonna be 45 seconds of the same clip. This team is stacked. This team is stacked. This team is stacked.
Basically.
Well, they are.
I look forward to that. Tomorrow, Ashton, find time in your busy schedule to put one together. You know, you could see if Josh has got some time on his hands, too, and we could make this a three-horse race and really make things interesting. Jesse has had a few montages that I don't know if I've ever seen his feelings more hurt on this show when we suggested that they weren't his best work. Like, he had set the bar pretty high early, and then he mailed a couple in, and he was really hurt by our constructive criticism.
Yeah, he was to the point where we were saying, well, you have to put a montage out, and you could tell he was a little put off that we thought this was montage-worthy. So then he kind of half-tailed it, and then when we called him out on it, he was a little distraught. But I love the surprise montage, when we don't even know it's coming, and bam, that's when his montages are at its best.
We will see what happens tomorrow with montages. We're doing a lot of self-diagnosis here on the program at the moment, so let's shift gears to what the home field advantage might look like for the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night. It is, I don't know what it's like down by you guys, but it is bitterly cold today. Like, I woke up and my phone said it was -1, and that was the temperature. That was not the wind chill, which was -16 on my phone. Home field advantage, cold weather, frozen tundra, 78,000 fans. I know you guys keep adding people to the crowd, but we'll see if they get to 80,000 for this game.
Yeah, standing room only. You got the press
that don't count.
Yeah, there's probably close to 80K in there when you get.
Did
when
you just
you
say you've got the
up.
Press who don't count? Is that what you just said?
Well, they're not counted as official attendees. They're
Do you know
ticketed.
That?
I don't. Okay. But I'm Jesse in it.
Thanks, so, Jesse. All right,
you guys can't hear my SportsCenter update in Madison today, but 81,441 is the listed seating capacity of Lambeau Field.
Apology, please, Jason.
How many games have they had 80,000 or more in their stands
know.
In
There's
the history since they expanded
There's been
the
a pandemic
stadium?
Going on.
That number would be zero.
So,
thank you.
Whatever. They can fit 80. It's going to be
apology, please. Apology.
Well, give us an apology. You can fit 80 plus. Lambeau is 80 plus now. So here's the deal. We talked a little bit about this earlier. I believe, obviously, home field bye, all the stuff that a first-round bye comes with. But when you're dealing with what Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, they have been very curt and upfront about what the expectations are. You know, now, to get into don't sell your tickets and all this other stuff, I'm not sure where I feel on that. But when you decide to show up to that game, and if you want to make a difference, not every fan, not everybody's like you really are dug in and like taking your shirt off and painting and being like a rabid fan. Some people just want to watch the game, be an experience. But if you want to help, there is no doubt, and you can ask any player, the energy and emotion that you can bring to a team, it's palpable. And you can make a difference. There's a reason that the Seattle Seahawks will put up on their thing how many penalties and false starts a team has, because that's showing the 12th man, hey, you're making a difference. Fans, I think a vast majority of fans want to feel in a small way that they're making a difference. And the best way to make a difference is when that opposing team, when Jimmy Garoppolo is getting under center, make it miserable. Don't let them check. Don't let them get off on a snap count. That's the biggest thing a crowd can bring. The energy that, and often big plays, and vibing off of that, the defense. But the best thing is that Preston Smith can get a half a step on Trent Williams. That they can get that edge. They can get they can get penetration in the backfield because they're able to jump a snap count because the opposing O-line can't hear anything. That's the biggest difference. And I applaud Matt LaFleur for making it known that this makes a difference. And if he wants to get in his vest and crank people up, go for it. I'm all in on that. Now, telling guys they can't sell their tickets,
all right.
I understand you can ask and say, man, we need y'all. But if somebody in San Fran is going to pay him $3,000, it's really hard for you, me, Matt LaFleur, Goody to say, don't pocket that cash. Now, are you being the best fan by not doing that? No, but you're taking care of you. I have a little bit of an issue with that. But when you come in that stadium and you want to make a difference and Matt LaFleur is asking you, make some noise. Hey, make some noise. Let's get this thing pumping, baby. Let's make it tough on these guys to execute because it does make a difference.
What if Matt LaFleur, with his salary, offered to pay the difference with a proof of receipts for all the people that want to sell their tickets between their highest offer from a Californian and a local Packers fan, and he can make up the difference out of his own pocket? Then maybe I would see his plea slightly differently. Here is the plea that we are talking about from Matt LaFleur asking folks not to sell their tickets to 49ers fans.
You know, we're very appreciative. We got the best fans in the National Football League. And for them to respond to that, it definitely it adds a lot, and probably more so than anybody ever knows. I mean, that is very, very difficult on an offense when they have a hard time communicating. So, you know, it's going to be so important that our fans are nice and loud for us, and they either keep their tickets and come to the game or sell them to Green Bay Packer fans.
We'll see what the sales look like and what the crowd looks like. But Tausch, to your point, I do think it's fair to say that there have been more and more. And this is, hey, when ticket prices go up, people want to find a way to finance those. If you are not making Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy style money with your job, that, hey, if I've got a chance to sell a $150 face ticket for $1,000, I don't care who's buying it, I'm going to take the money. And you multiply that times four tickets, pretty hard to blame somebody for wanting to do that. I understand why you would say this if you're him. And if you can find someone who is a Packers fan and is paying top dollar, congratulations. That's the best thing. But I have a hard time asking people to take less money just to support the team.
Yeah, I think obviously in the regular season, I can't make a good argument for that. Postseason, again, I'm not going to get into people's finances, but what this reminds me of, and you guys know I love a good analogy, you have an old historic house on a great lot out in California, and you have a nice little couple that will come in and pay you fair market rate for it, or you get a big developer that's going to come in and give you 5X. You then have to make that call. Do you take the 5X, or do you keep it and you want to keep the integrity of the house? That's the same parallel. I'm not going to fault you either way when it comes to that. I'm not. I think anybody that is that's doing that, I don't think, yes, we're rabid Packer fans, and yes, we want the place filled green and gold, not, what is it, burgundy and gold, whatever color that, red and gold, whatever it is.
Red.
That's the analogy, and I think it's pretty strong.
Jesse, you have bought tickets on the secondary market. I don't know how often. I know you have some tickets in your family or your extended family, and you're not allowed to go to this game because you're still banned from using them. I don't know how often they've sold tickets, but is this a consideration for you and for folks that you know that have tickets and are considering selling them and making a pretty penny and staying home in their nice warm house on Saturday night?
Yeah, the rule with the extended family tickets, they don't get sold. Those tickets don't get sold. Those tickets get used. My thought, though, is how many Packers fans have tickets? Let's say you're a season ticket holder. The majority of the people going to the game, I expect, would be. You're a season ticket holder. How many people are selling the tickets to this game thinking, I'm going to win or I'm going to earn back some of the money? They're going to win this game, and I'm going next week to go see them play either Tampa or the Rams. How many people are under that thought line? Because that, I think, is compelling.
Or I'm selling the tickets this week, I'm going to the NFC Championship game next week, and then I've got money to spend on my ticket to the Super Bowl because I sold the divisional ticket.
So, if you pulled this and said, you can't go to the game, you have the tickets, you have a 2X return, but it's from a Wisconsin locale, so you think they're Packer fans, or it's a 5X return, but you're shipping the tickets out to California, which one are you doing as a fan? I'd be curious what fans would do on that.
So here's my only issue with that poll. It's very easy if you don't have the tickets to say, no, I would only sell them to a Packers fan, right? Like, you're not facing the financial question. So it's easy to say, yeah, you got to sell them to a Packers fan. You owe it to the team. You're not the one passing up $3,000 or whatever. I don't know what – I have not looked at what the market is for these tickets. I assume it's pretty high. But that's the only issue that I have. I'd be curious if you want to call in on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. We'd love to hear from you if you face this dilemma. 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. I would also say this. I would be curious how many people – have season tickets, have tickets to this game, and would like to go and looked at the forecast and said, forget it. It's going to be cold. I can make a little money. I can stay home. I don't have to stand in line. My beer will not become slushy, as apparently was occurring in some other games. Not that Tausch was drinking any on the sideline. I would rather stay home with a blanket and watch the game on my couch. I don't love the team any less. I just don't like being really cold, which is what it's going to be on Saturday night. I don't know how Prize Picks works, Tausch. I hope you're going to explain that to me, because I'm guessing that there's going to be some opportunities to make some picks about the game that we're talking about.
We always talk about it, and it's finally here. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Prize Picks, it is the best legal way to place player props bets in Wisconsin. Playing is simple. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over or under on their projections. And Prize Picks does something unique. You can have mixed sports entries. So if you love Giannis, you think Giannis is going to go over, I don't know, 23 points, whatever that number is for that game, and you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go over on how many yards he's going to throw, boom, boom, take the over, grab yourself a little bit of cash. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of and has an easy-to-use mobile app, and I'm on it. It is, I am not uber handy when it comes to mobile apps. This one is about as easy as you can have. It's both on the App Store and on Google Play. Sign up now using the promo code WI, that's WI, and you can receive an instant match of up to $100. So you put $100 in, you're getting another $100. You're having $200 to play with. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. I think we're going to do a fun little contest. Jesse and I, and you don't like doing much sports gambling, Jason. So it's the true. Daily Fantasy, Jesse and I, and I'm going to try to talk Ashy into doing something on this Packer game on Saturday. I think there's a lot of fun props on the Prize Picks app. We'll delve into that tomorrow.
I'm in. I'll download it tonight. I'll check it out. I'm in with you, Tausch. Let's do it tomorrow. I'm excited about it.
We've got some calls already. 800-990-3776. I see the Yule Log Master himself is among them. I know he's a season ticket holder, so he will have some insight on this. Your thoughts on selling your Packers playoff tickets to out-of-towners or not? Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. Let's get to your calls on this. I'm really interested, especially if you are a Packers season ticket holder, on what your thought process is as far as what to do with your tickets if you are intending to sell them. Let's start with Kelly in DeForest. Kelly, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you today? No, Kelly's gone. Sorry. Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Staying warm?
I'm comfy right now. Are you going to be warm on Saturday night?
Probably not, but I'll be at Lambeau.
So have you contemplated selling your tickets, or was that never a consideration? What are your thoughts on this?
Actually, unfortunately, we've got two tickets that we have been trying to sell to friends and family for the last few days. But my thought process on this was formed back in the 90s. If you remember, every time we played Dallas, it was in Dallas, either regular season or the playoffs. We finally got them in Green Bay, and we smacked them around. And the night before the game, I heard a guy talking to his friend and how grateful he was that he got him a ticket, and he only charged him $100 more than face value. And right then and there, I said, I will never charge friends and family, if we're lucky enough to get tickets, anything more than what we paid. I would never do that, and that remains to this day. And I would certainly never consider selling them to a Niners fan. And in fact, just this morning, I got a hold of a friend of mine who is actually in San Diego right now for work, coming home tomorrow, and hopefully he's flying back and going to the game with us, I hope.
So, Sparky, it wouldn't matter if somebody from California, they went on, what is it, StubHub or whatever it would be, and would say, I'm going to give you 5X, what that is, that's not going to change your mind. You'd rather just, would you eat the tickets, or would you, I guess, I just want to know, what's the amount that would make you, or is there nothing that would ever let you sell knowingly to a 49er fan?
No, I would never do that. I would eat the tickets. In fact, my friend in San Diego said, how much do you want for them? And I said, face value. I said, I would never do that. But yeah, and Mrs. Sparky would kill me if I ever tried to do that, too. we may not agree on much, but we agree on that. It's friends and family or somebody we know that's going to sit with us. And I would never sell, at least knowingly, or I mean, if one of my friends ever sold the tickets out that we gave to them or we thought they were going to use, I don't know if they'd be my friend anymore, but we would be sitting there, staring daggers at the people next to us.
Like Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan. Thanks for the call, Sparky. We appreciate it. Let's keep going with the calls because I'm intrigued by this. And if Sparky's the majority or not, let's talk to Ralph in Milwaukee. Ralph, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. What do you got for us?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. Awesome. Good. What do you got?
We sold our 4 tickets. Wow. I've been to so many playoff games throughout the years that it's supposed to be colder than heck, and we're having a house party.
All right. And do you know who bought your tickets and what they paid?
They paid $1,200, and we do have no idea. We sold them somehow.
Bam.
I'm with you on this. I want to be very clear that I am very supportive of Ralph on this. I got no problem with Ralph doing this. Ralph, have you encountered any Packers fans, or are they going to be calling you now after they hear you on our show that wanted?
I know one person will call me right away if he hears me.
Now, Ralph, would you go next week if they win, or are you going to sell those too?
We're going next week for sure. The championship game is different. I was there last year.
There you go.
To Tampa, and that stuck. And the championship game is different because I want to see him go all the way.
Yeah, I agree. See, I, while I'm not thrilled that you're proving Jesse's point, Ralph, we appreciate your insight because I do think Jesse's going to be proven right on that part of it. Let's get to one more call before we get ready for Wonelli. Let's go to Terry in North Milwaukee. Terry, good morning. Welcome to Wilding Tausch. How are you? I'm sorry, we lost Terry. Ashton, this is on me with all your lowercase text messages that I'm missing. Let's go to Joe in Madison. Joe, welcome to Wilding Tausch. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm living in Tausch's current city of Madison and grew up in your current city, De Pere. So we got a connection to both you guys.
Nice!
So let me give you my quick story. So I'm a season ticket holder. I'll piggyback off the caller from two ago. If I got a friend or a family member who wants to buy the tickets from me, face value. I'm not going to make any money off them. Tried to get rid of the tickets, tried to offer them to family and friends, coworkers, et cetera. Nobody wanted to go. The only way to sell a ticket then is to go to a StubHub or a Ticketmaster to sell them, and you have zero control over who gets them. And the thing to remember is StubHub takes a big piece. They take 15% of what I get. So the prices you see on StubHub have about $100 fee added to them, depending on the cost of the ticket, that the seller has to pay. The buyer has to pay. Me as a seller, I also pay 15%. I had to lower my ticket prices last night. I've got two on the 30-yard line, seventh row. I had them at $400 apiece. I lowered them to $350, and they sold last night. But again, I only net 85% of that. So I would love if the Packers could come up with a way that only Packer fans can buy them. I would do that, but I can't control on StubHub who buys them. So you're kind of left with that dilemma. If you want to get rid of them, I'm not going to eat them. I'm not that big of a Packer fan to eat, you know, that much of tickets. But I would love to sell them to a Packer fan. But if you can't sell them to family and friends, and I live in Madison, you know, StubHub Ticketmaster is really unless someone's got a better idea, it's really your only route to go.
Right. I mean, you could, like, put it on your Facebook page, whatever, but that's the whole appeal of StubHub or all these other ticket brokerages is that it's easy for you to sell them. That's why they take 15% because they make your life a lot easier and they're making money off of you, right? I mean, I don't have a problem with that approach at all. I don't know, Tausch, and I don't know about this, maybe you do, could the Packers have their own resale program? I feel like they do one through Ticketmaster to some degree. This is not something I'm well versed in, I will admit that. But having it like in-house, that would allow you to potentially prevent more fans from coming into your stadium in a win or go home scenario.
Yeah, I think they're worried about selling their tickets, and then obviously they would love to keep it in-house. I did see somebody, I think the mayor up in Green Bay, the old mayor, Kuz, I think he has something where he's doing like an exchange and trying to coordinate it. It's a lot of work, and I think from a Packers standpoint, listen, you're raising ticket prices year in, year out. I get it, I understand it, but I think as some of our callers have said, it's more you want to keep, I think fans want to do it. They want to do whatever they can, but there's still a financial component to it. And if you're going to do it, the Packers need to have a system in place that will allow it to be easy. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to have to go with a national deal. And I believe there's national deals within the NFL that are going to handle all of the ticketing because there's money to be made on that from a league standpoint. So that's where I think it gets a little sticky.
Yeah, I think it's admirable that Sparky in Sussex takes the approach he does. The other problem is if you don't have anyone close to you that you can do it just in terms of, hey, yeah, I'll sell them to you for face value because you're my friend. If you want, I don't have a problem with this, but Matt LaFleur did make a point of saying this, and as you mentioned, our buddy Kyle Cousineau has been working like via Twitter to help Packers fans sellers find Packers fan buyers to keep fans out of the stadium that are going to be wearing red or burgundy or gold. I'll be interested to see Saturday night what the breakdown is. Because on the flip side of this, let's not forget, Packers fans love to go to other stadiums and take them over. And those fans mm-hmm. are selling those tickets. So if all fans took this approach, it would make it a heck of a lot harder for you guys to take over other stadiums. And I know that's something that Packers fans love to do. What we love to do is complain and analyze about Woe Nelly, which is next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Some texts and tweets on this as well. We'll check back in with them before we end the show, but time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
The University of Wisconsin football team is hiring an offensive coordinator.
And the is it on LinkedIn?
It might as well be. It's very publicly posted on the school website in search of offensive coordinator. Company listed as University of Wisconsin football program. First of all, Tausch, you're going to apply because Jason likes getting you jobs outside of the
He does,
afternoon.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I'd be too old school, I think. I would get criticized a ton, and I'd run the ball pretty much 85% of the time and run play action off of it. That's what I would do. So I'm not the guy, no.
Well, that's good.
Would Jason Eck hire you, though, with that plan?
I'll tell you what, had Jason Eck not gotten the job at Idaho, he'd been somebody I would have thought seriously about. His offenses.
Yeah.
Have been fantastic everywhere he's went, so that's obviously why I got a job, the head job at Idaho. But no, I think the battle is going to be obviously Paul Christ, and you know, as a quarterback guy and offensively, you have kind of some bedrock principles that you need to stick to, I think, to be successful here, and that is going to be you better have run first on your mind. All that trick them, you know what them, you know, motion, all this other stuff. It is no. I'm going to, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Pound the football. That's where your need to have your fund, that's where your foundation lies. And everything else, get creative, have some fun with it, use your athletes. But it's still at Wisconsin, if you're not going to be the most physical, baddest group, you're not going to have a ton of success here. That's just kind of how we're built.
You know what, I think Tausch is right. I do think they need an infusion. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way, of some new ideas to go along with that ability to run the football effectively. And I hope they find the right person. I hope they find the Jimmy Leonard of offensive coordinators. Jesse, what's next?
Woe Nelly!
I was just wondering if there's a better way we could post for that position being open than putting it on the school website. Like, that seems like something that you don't want to just open up for the world to be able to apply to. Like, shouldn't there be a better process than that?
Are you telling me that I could submit my resume?
You could have done that for the head coach when Paul...
Yeah.
Yes, with that, when you're a state university, you have to post the job offering. Like, that doesn't mean everybody has to sign in. But yes, if you look back, and I think, Jason, your newspaper did a big deal on the applicants for said job when it was offered. So, yeah, a public university, you have a public posting. That's where people got all irritated with Coach Alvarez last time when it was the Brett Bielema hire. And I think that is now a mandatory deal from the University of Wisconsin.
Woe Nelly.
Woe Nelly.
So on Twitter last night, a lot of ESPN personalities getting in on this conversation. Our old pal Boog Shambi, who calls baseball and a lot of college basketball for ESPN. He was at a
he
hotel
does hoops too?
In which
I didn't he know
does
he does
do
hoops.
Big 12 hoops.
Boog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boog with the hoops. So
they're
Boog,
not yelling Boog, they're yelling Boo.
He had his alarm go off in his hotel room at 4:23 a.m. because he did not check that it wasn't previously set by the last person who stayed in the hotel room. SVP chimed in saying the first thing you do after you find which channel is ESPN on the TV and just make sure there's nothing, you know, wrong with your room is you make sure that the alarm is turned off. Jen Latta from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy got in on the conversation. Guys, what's the first thing? What's the order of priorities? Let's go 1, 2, 3. Order of priorities when you check into your hotel room. Tausch, what is it for you?
I'm going to be honest. I don't have a ton of, you know, getting, I guess, my toiletry kit out into the bathroom. Otherwise, I usually drop my bag and I go. I don't usually stick around until you come back. You're going somewhere, you usually have something you're going to go do. I don't wipe down the remote. I'm not real interested in all that. I trust they have those deals where it's, they got paper putting up there like this has been sanitized. They put the remote in like a bag of some sort saying it's been, whether or not it's actually been sanitized, I don't know. But I trust. I trust Big Hotel. Okay? Yeah. I don't trust Big Tech, but I trust Big Hotel. How's that?
She's just one step removed from Big Tech.
Does Sarah trust it?
She brings wipes and things of that nature. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul is the same way, and I am fully on board with that. I will just say this. We once stayed. I covered. There was a weekend where the Badgers played Michigan at the Big House. It's the only time I've been to the Big House. And the Packers then played the Lions the next day. So I covered both games, and we stayed at a Holiday Inn in Ann Arbor, and I dropped my bag, went to wash my hands because we were going to go out to lunch right away, and the towel that was hanging from it, someone had apparently used it to like clean off their muddy shoes, and it was hanging up. So I went to dry my hands, and the front of it appeared clean. The back of it was covered in dirt and grime. And then I thought, well, what else is messed up about this room? I got a different room. It delayed my lunch, but more importantly, it was kind of gross. And I am sure there are plenty of gross hotel room stories to be told that we don't have time for.
Whoa, Nelly!
We did. When we went to the Big Ten championship game, we stayed at a cheap hotel. I won't say the name, but you're probably familiar with it, and it's not a Super 7. And there were bugs crawling out of the toilet when we checked into our hotel room. That was wonderful.
But your trip to Detroit was lovely, and I'd love to hear more about it, but unfortunately we're out of time.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah.
We'll wrap things up and check in on some of your texts and the poll question that's been put in the field about selling your tickets. To wrap things up next, it's Wilde and Tausch. From the Short Circuit soundtrack. From before two of the four people on the panel were even born. It is Who's Johnny. Jesse, you put a secondary poll in the field based on this ticket sales conundrum. What was the question and what are the early returns?
If you had Packers tickets for Saturday night, that you could not use, so we're not saying you have the option, we're saying you could not use these tickets for Saturday night, would you rather sell them at face value to friends, family, or sell them for double the price on the secondary market without knowing who's going to be purchasing them? So face value, no profit by giving them to a friend or a family member, or double the price on the secondary market, unknown buyer. Right now, 76% of the vote saying face value for friends and family. So 3 out of 4 Packers fans from the early returns would rather give them at no profit to a family member or a friend to go.
You feel like that's honest? Yeah,
I do. I think most people, because these tickets are sacred and they're hard to come by, I think most folks would rather have someone they know that's going to enjoy the experience more than making a couple $100. Now, if you're getting 4 or 5X and it's going to allow you to pay for the rest of your tickets, that's where it gets a little tricky. That's the intriguing part to me. But if you can find people that are going to pay face, go and enjoy the game, you're going to, I think it's a good karma deal for you as a fan to do that, and usually it'll come back around.
Tausch, I do want to follow up on that, though, because do you think that that becomes different? We heard from one of our callers that is selling his tickets, I think it was Ralph, and then is going to go to the NFC Championship game, assuming they advance. Like, I would think that the price point of selling your NFC Championship game tickets would be even higher, and the financial incentive to sell them would also be higher, along with knowing you could be in the stands for going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, Jason, I think we all love – I think everybody loves making money. I think everybody. But there's also experiences that you can't recreate, and you can't – you can put a dollar value on anything. But how many times in your lifetime are you going to get a chance to see your favorite team advance on to a Super Bowl at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
It's been one. We didn't get it done in 08. And the only other opportunity you had, I believe, was against the Carolina Panthers. It's hard.
Right.
It doesn't come around very often. Well, it didn't get done. Yeah. So, and it was a small crowd.
So you've had, in our lifetime, it's happened three times. They're 1 for 3. And you're hoping for a fourth chance because when they went to two previous Super Bowls, they won those on the road. They won it in Chicago. They won it in San Francisco. You're right. It would be for some, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But, boy, that number could be pretty big. Could be a pretty big number. We will see if
Let me tell you something. Are you going to tell your grandkids about the time you sold your ticket for an extra $500 or the time that you were with your family at Lambeau watching Aaron Rodgers win another NFC championship? That's the question, and that's an
easy
answer.
It also depends on your perspective, because I went to the Rose Bowl as a media member in 1994, and I went with two of my college roommates who bought their tickets, their student tickets, picked them up at the Rose Bowl, turned around and were offered $2,000 a piece for them, and sold them on the spot and watched at a bar. So where you are in life probably factors into how much money matters to you as well. That'll do it for us today. We will preview the game tomorrow as we get ready for Packers 49ers on Saturday night. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.